My name is Elaira. Welcome to Tea and Business Lounge podcast episode 4. Today I have truly very unique guest, and her name is Jacqueline Hobbs, also known as Oracle Girl. She has extraordinary abilities since her childhood, and I believe she is very highly consciously evolved human being. In this podcast, we will talk with her about the future of the business and how to live all of you and your full potential. So welcome, Jacqueline.
Oh, so nice to be here.
I really even don't know how to introduce you, Jacqueline, to be honest, because even till now, I don't know how to label you in my head.
Yeah, it can be very difficult to find the right words sometimes.
Exactly. And usually I'm full of words, so usually I'm good, but you are really extraordinary and you have special abilities. Mm-hmm. Can I ask a personal question?
You can.
I find it very inspiring and very courageous that you decided just to live your full potential. I just can imagine what journey it has been for you to embrace it. And there are a lot of people who know that they are different and they know they have a lot of talent, but as well they want to belong and connect to this world.
Very
and,
important.
And to fit in. And these two parts are struggling. So
yes.
How did you went through that journey? How did you decide to take a risk and to be courageous?
I didn't really decide in a way, because I was always like it from the beginning. And in fact, a lot of my early journey was about trying to keep myself hidden and not too conspicuous, because it seemed to have quite a huge impact sometimes on people around me, which I didn't understand. And at points it has been extremely lonely, even with people around me who do understand a little bit more about me. It's been a journey of discovering actually how to cope with what I can do and what I am capable of, which of course is the same for everybody else as well.
Exactly.
It's just that maybe the potential of what I have is a little bit bigger in some cases than most people. It's been a process of having the courage to show more of who I am, regardless of the reaction. And there have been times in my life where I've kind of been forced to, or it's been pulled out of me, and then other times where it's been a little bit at a time, and then more and more, and then a sudden leap again. And just like everybody else, luckily, I am very human and very vulnerable. And yet at the same time, as you use that word, I will use again, I am also quite extraordinary. But that is the same for everyone, which is good.
Exactly. And I feel a lot of people can relate to that.
Yes.
And feel really lonely. So
yes.
I want to invite them to do that.
Yes. And we can take risks and we can express our vulnerability in the business arena, so that colleagues, even customers, understand us more. And even if they don't, so that we feel we've included ourselves more in that arena. It's amazing that even if you don't get heard that well, you can feel really amazing for just having taken the risk of actually showing what you feel and represented yourself a bit more. We are also tired of being treated, often unconsciously, as products ourselves, impersonally, without care. And the big problem with a lot of businesses, not all at the moment, is that there is a lack of care and just a rollout according to apparently a highly efficient process that also brings in a certain amount of expenditure, but nobody feels valued, nobody feels particularly recognised, and even the things we experience as a result of these interactions make us feel even more empty. They don't fulfil us. So there's obviously something really big missing, and that's something that's about the emotional and also about feelings of belonging and contentment, doing good on the planet and benefiting others. Human beings are not just pure, they're compassionate. They're dreamers. And I don't mean that in a wishy-washy fantasy or even particularly spiritual way. It's actually very, very material and pragmatic and practical what I mean by being a dreamer. We are in the business of envisaging and modelling for ourselves, very often in many moments a day, a better planet. And we're always looking at things and thinking, I it really shouldn't be like that. It would be so much easier if it was like this. We do it all the time. And yet, where is the space for that? And when we enter into that process, we ground. We connect with nature and the environment again as well, because we feel more present and in our bodies. And then we bring more of our more enlightened range of consciousness back into business practice. So even if we take a small risk of saying what we think, even if it's, you know, met with, you know, derision or just being ignored, we tend to feel a little bit better ourselves. And if we were to encourage that in our colleagues and have that as more central value in our business practices, that's one of the first big steps to getting all of ourselves back into those often quite high pressure and driven arenas.
Mm. So how can we be more inclusive and more accepting? Mm.
We need to come out of the full spectrum of our potential and particularly our human consciousness. If we are only acting out of a very small or narrow amount of our own being, and then we're attempting to find solutions out of systems and more boxy type approaches that we've already got, all we're going to do is limit ourselves more and more and then get more and more frustrated. It's more about us losing and shedding what is holding us back, which, believe it or not, doesn't start even in business, but actually starts with the way that your body is wired to receive the entirety of your potential and your human consciousness. We literally need to go through a process as a species of upgrading not only our body and its ability to receive all of our consciousness, but we need to get into more practical arrangements where we can learn how to actually live the full spectrum of our consciousness, even before we start looking at how we apply who and what we are to the world in a certain arena. And that's about purification. And it's also about coming across the spaces and the gifted people, maybe the somewhat extraordinary people that you're referring to, like myself, who are able to bring that to the world. As yet, there are not so many people who have that gift yet, although there are massive amounts of people who are realizing they do have that ability themselves and want to know how to learn to do that too.
So what are your extraordinary abilities? Maybe you can share with people and tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah. Well, I think to put it in its wider context, you know, there are certain people here now on the planet who have really come to help with solutions to the really big problems. And in my own case, I have something perhaps new to bring, particularly to business and the whole matter of rebuilding our society, which also includes very special abilities to help open up and change people's consciousness and their bodies so that they can actually live and act comfortably with their own consciousness and then really effectively change their communities and the world around us practically, including the ways that we do business.
So where we are as humankind in living our fullest potential at the moment, and how can we progress in that?
Well, I think at the moment, nearly everybody is either very frustrated and they're not really living their potential, and the world is looking at a scenario where we are actually bursting out and breaking out of things that haven't worked and we don't quite know where to go. And I think that the way that we need to cope with that and start looking, first of all, is where and how we can get help for actually harnessing all of ourselves to go forward, to reapply what we've got to the situations in front of us.
Yeah, we know that a lot of old ways don't work.
Yes.
But what else? What's
yes.
possible?
That's and then the time in what we're yeah. in which we're living now.
So where the world is going in your eyes? Mm.
In my eyes, I would say two things in answer to that question. In general, I would say that the world is going in a very fast upward direction in terms of society being more able to provide the things that are needed for everybody and not just narrow sections of society, and that we are on an upward pathway of evolution. But the second half of that answer is that we are also, therefore, because of that, facing a world where there is going to be a great deal of hard practical work undoing what doesn't work, and maybe a lot of difficult emotional processes to go through as we cope not only with our own experience of that, but also have to take into account the reactions and the experiences of others who maybe are on the same path of us, or maybe even resistant or asleep to that.
Let's narrow it down a little bit to business.
Sure. Yeah.
Because a lot of systems are collapsing, like political, like financial, or at least shaken at this moment. And business is gaining more and more trust from people to do the right thing to make the world a better place.
Yes.
So in your eyes, how the business is changing and evolving in the future?
I think what I've noticed, even from the people who are coming to see me and would like help from me, is that they're realizing that in order to change their organizations and their business approach, that they need some kind of extra help with how to actually come out of a part of themselves that will be more powerful more quickly. And 9 times out of 10, they don't really know even what that is, but they get attracted to me because they know that there's something there which is beyond their normal everyday way of thinking and all the approaches they've tried so far. And that when they start to include that, it's like the magic ingredient that makes all of their practical knowledge and their business experience and their vision actually start to work better.
So do you see the ways we work differently in the future?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think we're going to find that we have a more flat power sharing type of system where people not only are nominating themselves for certain tasks that in the past we might have said is just the job description of a CEO or maybe a management committee or even someone who just comes in and checks the electronic equipment in an office, to everybody actually doing what they want to do according to their skills and an immediacy in the moment which comes out of their own reactions. And there will be a permissioning also amongst others around them and a community structure in a business that will recognise that it's okay and it's even applauded for people to speak up and say, I want to do that, I don't want to do that, I've got the skills for this rather than you, regardless of who they are, how long they've been in an organisation, how old they are, what training they have or what they don't have. It's going to be more needs must, it's going to be more reflexive, it's certainly going to be more intuitive, and it's, again, it's going to come out of the part of someone that actually speeds up and gets excited and passionate about the possibility they see in front of them, whether they know how to do it or not. Because the connect, first of all, is in that part of yourself where the heart opens and you know you have some skills, but you are willing to take the risks then to develop the rest because you know somehow it's yours to do and you deeply want to. What's missing from business organisations in general at the moment is a lot of people are confined to doing huge amounts of tasks they don't want to do, and they are even being forced to do things that they don't know how to do as part of a job description or a mandate coming from somewhere in the organisation, rather from the highest frequency of themselves. The higher the frequency out of which we act, the more successful whatever we do, whether we know what to do or not, because we will then attract the solutions and we will find them through our own tenacity and enthusiasm and wish to succeed. That's a very different vision of business to everyone waiting for the orders to come out or being put in charge of just one thing and feeling vastly unsupported or unseen by the rest of the organisation and feeling that you're struggling with what you're doing.
It seems like we are quite not there with the vision. So what would be the first steps towards that? What would be your recommendation?
In my experience, there's two approaches there. First of all, those who are still perhaps classically more in charge of a business organisation than others, they need to get help to open up on those higher levels, because an organisation will only be as successful as the main person who is in charge of it, if that structure is the way is the one that is still in place. In any type of work that I do, you will only be as strong as the highest vibration of the person who actually leads. the whole organization will follow suit from the group or the one person who is actually at the moment given the most centralized or the greatest amount of power. So first of all, it's the people in perhaps somewhat old structures who are still seen as being at the top or with more responsibility. They have to change so that everything that ripples out from them starts to follow suit. But then also we need a reciprocal and an equal power sharing arrangement to come into those situations where everybody who's working around those key figures is also receiving that type of approach in their areas. So then we move into those flat power sharing arrangements. And then we can break down even the structure that might be holding that together, like someone at the top or someone only in one area at the bottom. And there is more redistribution then of attention, focus, skills, power, money across the skills and the different, if you like, coordinates of the business and how it functions.
So if I understand right, the leadership as we understand now is collapsing too.
Yes, or its definition is changing. If we just take one very narrow definition of leadership, and of course there are many more enlightened definitions out there already, but if we see leadership as, you know, one person in charge and everyone else then, you know, in a kind of trickle-down structure from that, then that definition, while it may be valid sometimes in some ways for some people, it needs to be more nominated and allocated probably different places in a business organization now if we are to really open up the way that we work, because there are so many other ways of understanding leadership and there are so many more needs for different types of leadership besides that. And also, do we really need the word leadership anymore? Maybe in some areas we do, but it is a bit of an outdated concept, because a lot about what makes success happen is not about leading. Often it's about listening. It's about waiting and only acting sometimes. It's about delegating. And leadership in itself, we definitely would need to redefine it, but it may not even be a valid label anymore in some areas of some organizations, and maybe completely for some organizations.
I'm curious, what is your definition of successful organization?
For me, it is very much about everybody being able to innovate and create more, having met the needs and the wishes of not only the business organisation, but those they've set out to help or fulfil the wishes of.
Beautiful. So how do you think business and the world is changing with those new generations coming in place? Because they are so different, like millennials, Gen Z, to give a label, but I'm talking about these new waves of people.
Well, I can only answer from, you know, what I'm seeing so far amongst my own work. You know, I'm seeing particularly a younger generation of people who don't really want to be seen necessarily just in terms of their workplace. They want to be seen as individuals who empower perhaps many different workplaces, that they work according to their own style and are given responsibility then for delivering, that they have access to resources to do that, support to do that, but then the free rein to bring in their own solutions and use their own creativity. And particularly in much younger people, I am seeing also even quite hard-edged approach, which is we do know the answers, either you're listening or you're not, which can be a very courageous act for them. But also sometimes it can even be a little bit isolating, because then they choose not to be part of things if they're not listened to, because they don't want to compromise themselves. And I think that we are dealing with a new approach emotionally and spiritually and physically and certainly ethically in younger people towards business and how they want to use their skills, as well as seeing that there are a lot of needs in people who are already employed to break out of structures and to answer more to themselves as well. And I'm often giving groups and doing purification work around those two areas, as well as what I previously mentioned, people who have a lot of responsibility, who want to change and want to hand over more but don't know how to.
We talk about these new waves and new approaches, and the world is offering so many new possibilities. How in all of that change and all this chaotic transformation to know who you are?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, one of the biggest things that gets left out, I think, at the moment, particularly in the business sphere, is that in order to know who you are, if that's a valid question, which I do want to go into as well, is you cannot really answer that question without thinking about the impact of what you're doing on the environment. We are beings who live interrelated with nature, and we have an impact on our environment. And if we are not looking at everything we do in terms of our relationship with all the beings on the planet, then we are in very big trouble, and not much of what we do, even the highest consciousness ideas, will not translate well for the planet as one organism, because we are dependent on our environment for our survival, and our environment is coping but not doing too well as a result of our impact on it. And our business approaches need first and foremost to be interlaced with that if we're really going to go forward in the way we want to see, i.e. being successful with what we put out into the world.
So you say one of the key and most important aspects to be a successful business is to connect back to natural environment?
Well, first and foremost, if through our business practices we continue to destroy the quality of oxygen in the air and the water in the seas, and we pollute our environment with the byproducts or even the main products of our business activities, then we are harming ourselves and we are harming the planet. And at some point we won't be able to continue. And we're very close to that point in the opinions of some people. It's not really working. So the first answer to the question is we can't continue if we continue that way. That's why it's so important. The survival of our species is possibly on the table, something which everybody seems to talk about a lot, but still doesn't seem to be changing all that much or in the bigger ways that we would have hoped it would have done. But there are many more reasons. The more we ground into and connect with nature and the environment, even as a part of our workplace, let alone our business practices, the more healthy we become and the easier it is to deliver efficiency for a place and clients to be happy as a result of interactions with us and what we do. Business is about people. It is about products and money, but it comes out of people delivering and envisaging and creating processes to make those things possible. If people are not happy, there is not success. And for people to be happy, there needs to be a connection with nature, because people are interacting out of a body sphere, and the body originates from and follows the rules of nature. Whether you're in the middle of a city or you're sitting out in the countryside, we are made from nature. That's how we function. If we don't obey those things and honour those principles, then our business activities will fall on very dry ground.
Yeah, and I see that a lot happening.
Mm.
It's very interesting you mentioned that, and I think there's quite a bridge to make. Companies start to involve concepts like sustainability, let's be more conscious about how we make business. Mm. But I still feel we are quite far from it.
Yes,
so what would be...
Because it's the wrong way around. What we're doing is we're trying to fit the environment into our business practices. And actually what we need to do is come from the purity of our own selves, which we will discover has an intimate connection with nature. And then everything that we do in business will be that sustainability. It's a lie when we try to write sustainability into our businesses, or we put even HR into our commercial operations. As soon as you start seeing that, you know it's not happening, because you're trying to factor it in by the back door because it was left out at the very beginning. We can't have those approaches anymore. We need an inclusivity vibrationally of all of our being, because that's who we are, right? The full spectrum of our consciousness, which we can't necessarily put into words, but we know by the results. We may be leaving things out. We need to actually include all of those relationships right at the beginning. Then we don't have to do these very superficial campaigns about how our company is in harmony with nature and doing a bit of recycling on the side. These are piecemeal things which really are quite fake.
What would be the first steps for companies to do regarding that environment thing?
I would advise all companies, as I do already, to first get in touch with someone like me to actually purify the consciousness first of their management structures, but also of their business organization, and to work with the individuals in that to raise their vibration so that everything they do is then inclusive of all the concerns that we've been talking about. If you start on that highest vibration, then everything you do will follow, but you can't bring it back in having started at a lower vibration.
So in other words, inside out instead of outside in.
Absolutely, yes.
I want to talk about sensitive people in this world and is this change period.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of sensitive people in the companies who are really struggling because still structures are not built for them.
Yes.
And on the other hand, those sensitive people are those pioneers of the heart.
They have a lot of the skills.
Of the skills to offer. So what would be your advice? How for them to fit in and not to feel stuck, not to feel misunderstood?
Well, I think they can't help but be misunderstood because they are misunderstood, and that some of the responsibility doesn't really lie with them. It's with the people who are employing them, and that's the problem. I think that the starting point there is for organisations to start including the needs of their employees, sensitive and maybe less sensitive if there is such a thing, and to become more inclusive also in their hiring policies, and also to be more transparent about what they can and what they can't offer. Because so often sensitive people particularly suffer in companies because they're led to think that there will be things there for them which they aren't, and then it's very difficult for them to even show a small amount of their talent and their ability.
Right, they have to shrink in.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of burnout. It's one of the biggest diseases, actually.
Of course.
What do you think? What went wrong? Why are we having it?
Well, burnout is a direct outcome of our current business structures and the way we think about money and the way we think about ourselves. It all starts with the way that we think about ourselves. We are still conditioned by some of the more controlling ideas in our society, which make us think that we have to flog ourselves to death in order to be successful, or that, you know, heaven comes at the end of sacrifice. Sometimes that is true. A lot of us have had experiences where it's not easy to bring what we are out into the world, and it's very well worth it, and that the struggle and the difficulty can be productive. But we don't need that as the overarching or the central premise on which we succeed in this society. Because if we're all exhausted as a result of achieving even just a very small amount of our potential, then we're not going to get very far, very fast. Burnout is the outcome of believing that results always come in the future. If we were to change our perspective and realize that if we start from a place not of lack, but actually of fulfillment, and that we start from a place of relaxation and all of who we are, then only more results like that will follow. But that all comes back to then us starting with all of who we are, not just a small definition made by money, outcomes, or theories or ideas about what is successful. Concept-driven delivery rarely works unless it is used very responsibly in small areas applied to a much bigger vista where we have more enlightened values already.
Yeah, and talking about that, all of you who you are, it's such a tricky concept for me as well, because how do you know who you are? You've been living imprinted with society ideas of who you are, your parents' ideas of who you are. It becomes of who you are too.
Yes.
So how do you separate? How do you know?
Well, on the one hand, you don't know if you try to articulate it, just like you were saying at the beginning of this podcast. It's very hard to put it all into words. But as is particularly part of my gift, if I were to say to everybody listening here, well, you are a pure being, there's your answer in about four or five words. And everybody resonates the minute that I say that. You know that you have got things that you're working on which are not perfect, but you know almost deep down or intrinsically that somewhere in you that is true, or that it must be true, and that it can be true materially and practically. Actually, we all know the answer to the question of who we are. We're pure love. We are extraordinary beings who are capable of anything. It's not so much about answering the question or even getting too metaphysical. It's about how to connect with that and bring it out into the world. And that's what I specialize in and also what makes me quite extraordinary is that I have abilities to be able to change the wiring in organizations, in your physical body, and to, if you like, replumb your whole consciousness so that all of that purity and all of that love and all of that capacity, that tremendous intelligence which is connected with the earth and the skies as well, how that can come out into the world is made possible by some of the skills and the abilities that I've brought with me.
Beautiful. I really can't wait to be all of who I am.
I should say a little bit about how I do that. So people who are listening have got a tangible sort of idea or some practical examples of how I go about that, say, in business or maybe even the group that you were in.
Yeah, I still struggle to cognize it in my head. Mm. I just know in my heart it works, and I even call it the magic happens. When I work with you or I'm in your presence, I start to feel like everything starts to flow.
Yes.
I meet people I need or things just start to happen I feel completely differently.
That's a great description. If you come into contact with what I call the purification space, which is what I naturally hold, if you like, by my presence, then what is in the way starts to somewhat mysteriously just drop out of the equation. Not miraculously or really rapidly, it's actually very slow and steady. And what usually happens is that people hear about me or see a picture, and then as they become more involved with what I do or even just start to interact with the feeling of me in their minds from a distance, something starts to happen where everything opens up in them. And then when I actually go to work with a business or a group such as you attended or even an individual comes to speak to me, that intensifies and it becomes deeper. And I will look in someone's eyes, I will touch points on their body, or I will go deeply inside myself and I have the ability to actually raise the setting of my own consciousness so it will very specifically wrap around the person or the organization or the place that I'm focusing on, and I can make that process speed up so that success and flow starts to come naturally into the material layer of reality. And that's what it's all about. We actually have to have material change now. We can't philosophize anymore. We can study practices and ideas that will help change the world, but we can't study forever, and we do actually need to see results in this time. There's a lot of talking, but there's still only some action.
So I thought, how about we experience you? Can you do one of your what you call purifications to us today?
So just relaxing. And listening to my voice. You are a pure being of infinite consciousness. Ready to transform yourself, your work, and your society. Into an experience which benefits all beings on this planet, including nature and the environment of which you are so inextricably linked with. Receiving this purification for everything in you which now needs to drop away and transmute,
so that you can show all of who you are. All of your gifts and talents at the very highest vibration in every arena of your life, including and specifically in the world of business, work, career and earning money. Pure love is the vibration of change. It is what brings real solutions. Then money obeys the highest ideals and principles of human beings. We are opening to a new possibility in our ways of working and using money. Let these solutions now flow from the inside out. So that we undo the old and build the new. Together.
Thank you so much. I feel so expansive and relaxed now. Thank you for being here with me and sharing your knowledge.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
So see you next time in your next meeting.
Okay.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it, rate it, or write a review. Thank you.
And remember,
if you want to create a better world, it starts first with knowing and realizing what kind of world you want to live in.